Let us pray. Come, Lord Jesus, quickly. Many of us are waiting. Not one of us will be disappointed. Amen. Please be seated. That little prayer was a favorite of one of my former pastors, and a pastor who's very formative for me. He used to say it. I think he started every sermon with it, probably ended every sermon. Anyway, it was commonly heard from him, and it's a great little prayer, especially for those times when you are feeling just overwhelmed. Come, Lord Jesus, quickly. Many of us are waiting. Not one of us will be disappointed. Amen. It's got a nice way of helping you to see beyond the mess of day-to-day and to the fact that the Lord is coming. And one day, all of these things that bother us so much won't even matter. It focuses us on what's truly necessary. Better by far is that prayer than the one that many of us have prayed when we're stressed out and trying to cope with life. You know the one I'm talking about. It goes something like this. Lord God, please give me patience and give it to me now. We've probably all felt like we could use more patience from time to time because we lived in such a fast-paced society. There's so many things to do, so many places to go. Our schedules are packed. And I know even you retired folks are constantly coming and going. You're not done with it either. It's a way of life that we experience, and it makes us intolerant of having to wait. We want what we want. We want it now. And it's no wonder we feel this way. We live in a time and an age where we have fast food. We have instant entertainment at the click of a button. We have 24/7 news from all over the world to tell us what's going on. The truth is, we don't have any time for this virtue called patience. And yet, our text for today from St. James's epistle tells us that patient is exactly what we are to be. James writes, "Be patient, brothers, until the coming of the Lord." During the season of Advent, what we do is we call to mind those believers who awaited the coming of the Christ. We call to mind back in the Old Testament days, those people who also were waiting for Christ to come. They were waiting for the Messiah. And our faith is like theirs because we too are waiting for Christ to come. Only we're waiting for him to come again. Like those Old Testament believers too, we know that we know some things about his coming, and then other things we're left completely unaware. We don't know when Christ will come, just that he will come in the blink of an eye, like a flash of lightning, and other phrases like that are used to describe. It's just kind of this instantaneous appearing. We're told that when he comes, he'll bring glory. He will come with glory to judge both the living and the dead. We know that there will be many signs in nature, things like fires, earthquakes, floods. There will be signs in society, things like wickedness, an increase in wickedness, wars, rumors of wars, and there will be signs in the church, including hypocrisy, people falling away, and false doctrine. And you know what? Every single one of these things has been seen ever since Christ ascended into heaven. There has never been a time where people couldn't look around and see fires and floods and earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars and all the rest of it. It's as if we're constantly supposed to be thinking that we're living in the last days. It's almost as if we're supposed to be thinking that Christ may come back at any moment and that we're to be ready for it. And since we don't know when this will happen, we are told to watch, to be awake. And then James adds to that, while we're waiting, be patient. You know, one classic definition of the word patience is to wait without anxiety. And that certainly captures the idea of how Christians are to wait for the Lord's coming. We don't have to be anxious or worried about it because we can be certain about the fact that the day will come and the day will be a great and wonderful day for us and for all true believers. And this we can know simply by looking again to the fact that Christ has fulfilled his word in the past. Christ said before he would send a Savior, he sent a Savior. His word is good, he can be trusted. Think about that, though. Think about how many thousands upon thousands of Israelites were waiting for the Messiah and looking forward to God fulfilling his promise. Now, God fulfilled his promise, but the vast majority of those people who were waiting for the Messiah weren't alive in the time of Christ. They didn't get to see this promise fulfilled with their eyes, and yet we know absolutely this promise was fulfilled. in light of the fact that the Lord keeps his word, we too should be assured that God has not forgotten his promise to come again. And though he may not return in our lifetime, we may not see it, it may not come back for another 1,000 years, who knows? Nevertheless, we can be sure it'll happen, and so we can be patient as we wait, that is, without anxiety, because we can be sure that his word will be fulfilled. But another reason that we don't have to be anxious as we wait for the Lord's coming is because we know who this Messiah is and what he wants to do. We know this because of Christ's ministry, his first advent. We know that God is a friend of sinners who doesn't delight in punishing the wicked but longs to offer forgiveness and salvation to all. He welcomes all who repent of sin and acknowledge their sinfulness. Those who know they have faults, those who know they are far from what we were created to be, those who are honest about this sinful condition and are longing for help and overcoming the wrath of God that our sins have incurred, the broken, the humble, the contrite sinner, our Lord will receive with mercy and will welcome into his kingdom when he comes again. And we know that this is what he will do because this is how it was during his earthly ministry. Jesus didn't turn away any who came to him, broken and poor and longing for help. The ones that Jesus brushed up against or pushed back against were the proud, the arrogant, the self-righteous, the self-impressed. And Jesus didn't even want to write them off. It's just that they wouldn't come to him because they saw no need for a Savior. As we wait for the Lord, then, we can do so patiently, that is, with peace and without fear, because we know that when Christ comes, he comes to deal with repentant sinners according to his great mercy and kindness. Getting back to the text of James here, he introduces another idea when he's admonishing his hearers to be patient. The word for patience not only has to do with waiting without anxiety, but it also has to do with enduring suffering. The etymology of the word here for patience is kind of fascinating. The word here translated patience, it's makrothumisate. Macro, you know, large, right, big. The other part of it, this thumisate, means burning anger, wrath, or a passionate outburst. Okay, so when you put that together, how does big angry translate into, you know, patience? Well, it works like this. One of the best explanations for it is that we should be long-tempered. You all know what it is to have a short temper, when somebody goes off quickly and they take offense at the, and they get upset and they go off. That's what it is to have a quick temper. To have a big temper is one who is not like this, one who can put up with a lot from others and resist the temptation to lash out and respond. In other words, someone who is patient and doesn't give way to their anger quickly. Now, I have to admit to you, I have witnesses right here in the front row, that I feel like a big hypocrite when I'm preaching to you about this, about how to be patient and not to fly off the handle. Look, this is one of those things, it's really easy to talk about, it's another thing to do. By no means do I pretend to have this mastered. I'm speaking to you only as a fellow sinner, forgiven by the grace of God and struggling to defeat each day's new temptations just like the rest of you. And as I reflect, it seems to me that I've lost many battles when it comes to this temptation. I can think of so many times, too many times, when I haven't controlled my anger, or I've let my thoughts fly right from my sinful heart outside of my sinful mouth without ever checking in with my sanctified mind. And the only reason I'm admitting this to you is because I'm quite certain that most, if not every single one of you, can also relate. Just think back to some time in your life when you had some conflict. Think of a time when hurtful words were spoken to you and your retaliation was swift and cruel. Times when you let others feel your anger. Times when you know you overreacted. How much peace in your home and with your family and friends have you lost because you weren't patient and you didn't take control of your emotions? How many times have you wished you could go back and unspeak a word? This is also what James is getting at when he is talking about patience. He says, be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. In this sense of patience, there is no better example than our Lord himself. James appeals to the example of the prophets. But how much better the example of our Lord, who suffered every manner of insult and cruelty and did so on our behalf. When our Lord came to earth to save us, he was not welcomed or received with joy by all people. Not everyone rejoiced that the Messiah had come. No, on the contrary, some people hated him. Wicked men conspired to kill him. They arrested him, falsely accused him, convicted him, insulted him, beat him, handed him over to the authorities to be killed. And in the hands of the secular rulers, our Lord was believed to be innocent, but unjustly, they sentenced him to death and executed him in the most humiliating fashion. And at any point in this, our Lord Jesus Christ could have put an end to it. He could have called down wrath from heaven to eliminate his persecutors. He could have shut the whole thing down. And instead of retaliating, he prayed for his persecutors. He asked the Father to forgive them on account of their ignorance. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ knows what it is to suffer, and he knows how to be patient in the midst of it. He suffered the wrath of God against the sins of the world. He bore the punishment for our sins, and he did so willingly in order to save us from death and hell. All who trust in him, even you and I, sinners that we are, will be saved at his second coming. And in the meantime, we're to learn true patience from him. As we have been forgiven, so we are to forgive. We're not to repay insults with insults. We're not to grumble and complain about our fellow saints. We are to endure with one another patiently. And with God helping us, we can do this. We can do this because eventually, perhaps tomorrow, or maybe not for a long time yet to come, but eventually Christ will come. And when he does, all the things that bother us now and cause us strife, all the things that cause us to lose our temper and fly off the handle, all of those things will be permanently removed. We who are faithful will dwell with one another forever, and we will do so without temptation to sin. And that's what we have to look forward to as a sure and certain reality on account of Jesus Christ. So until then, let's exercise patience, because we know that God has been patient with us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, quickly, for many of us are waiting, and not one of us will be disappointed. Amen.